It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to a story by Sabrina Bowden for our content partner Public Source, between 2010 and 2015, lawmakers in more than half the states enacted nearly 300 restrictions on abortions, including physician and hospital requirements for abortion clinics, limited public funding, waiting periods between consultation and procedure, and parental involvement for minors. Abortion providers are becoming more and more scarce. Two of Pennsylvania's 19 abortion clinics are in Pittsburgh, making it a destination for women in western Pennsylvania and neighboring states, as well as a target for anti-abortion protesters who want more restrictions and to discourage women from ending their pregnancies. Creating a need for clinic escorts, volunteers who escort women seeking abortion pass the gauntlet of protesters to the doors of the clinic. I'm joined now by phone by Sabrina Bowden, who wrote the story, Volunteers at the Apex of the Abortion Debate, for Public Source. Sabrina Bowden, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for joining us. And with me in studio is Laura Horowitz, who has been a volunteer clinic escort since the early 1990s. Laura Horowitz, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation, time permitting, with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Sabrina, I'm curious what got you onto this story.
Well, I've always been really interested in access to reproductive rights, and with all the stuff going on in Texas with their restrictions, I wanted to see what was really happening in Pennsylvania and specifically in Pittsburgh. And after talking to some professors from Pitt, I was introduced to Laura, and everything with the clinic escorts just fell into place.
And I'm curious what the level of harassment is that you have seen. I mean, I can think, for example, on Liberty Avenue, I believe, is where Planned Parenthood is located, and there is usually a group of people out there protesting right near the door to that to Planned Parenthood who are opposed to abortion. So if you're going down there to seek some sort of medical advice or treatment, you've got a bit of a gauntlet to walk through, don't you?
Well, I think Laura would have more of an idea of the everyday interaction.
Okay, Laura.
Go ahead, Sabrina. Finish what you wanted to say.
I was just going to say that on the Saturdays that I went, it was a lot of people handing out literature, but the clinic escorts were there to sort of protect the women and the patients going in.
Okay, so before we get to what exactly an escort does, what do you, Laura Horowitz, as someone who is, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, on the front lines, so to speak, what are you seeing out there?
I'm seeing some very angry anti-abortion protesters who are willing to humiliate and terrify women who are pursuing their legal rights in any way they can get away with.
Such as?
Generally speaking, it's confined to verbal abuse. If there's not a police officer around to control their behavior, protesters are likely to block sidewalks, touch or grab patients, lean into patients' cars or surround patients' cars, put literature into their pockets or purses, and generally make it very intimidating for them to approach the doors of the clinic.
And from reading what you have said in Sabrina's story, because I was curious about what made you want to do to become an escort, that for you, in spite of what you just said that you've seen, this goes back a long way.
A long way.
Because you've been doing this since the early 1990s.
In 1991.
So what made you want to do this?
I got sick of sitting around whining about how bad things were, and I thought, you need to get off your backside and go do something about it.
So you have. And what exactly does an escort do?
We as clinic escorts are on site to serve the patients, to make sure that patients get in and out of the clinic as quickly and as safely and with as much dignity as we can provide for them. We are not there to protect the premises of the clinic. Some escorts do that. We do not here in Pittsburgh, nor are we there to engage with protesters. We are there solely to protect patients and the people who come with them.
Is it difficult to not engage with the protesters?
Nah. No. You hear the same stuff week in and week out. At first it is, and then you realize that any interchange that you have with these folks is pointless. We're not going to change their minds. They're not going to change our minds. They don't have any understanding of what the patients are going through. And it's not our job to educate them. Our job is just to make sure patients can pursue their rights without harassment.
You say that not everybody who is supportive of reproductive justice is the right material to be an escort. What do you mean by that?
You have to have a lot of patience and a sense of humor, and you have to have a slow fuse, which actually none of which describes me, so I'm not quite sure how I've been doing this for so long. You need to remember that you're not there to advocate for a position. If we don't encourage counter-protesting here in Pittsburgh as a general rule, because we feel that going to a doctor should be a private experience, and going to a clinic should be just like going to your dentist or going to your family doc. You should be able to walk in and out without attention from strangers about that. So if you feel that you want to have an exchange of viewpoints with protesters, escorting is not for you.
Sabrina, what percentage of the women who seek abortions in Pittsburgh are from here?
Well, there's a large number of women who go into the state looking for help, but I believe the number is upward of 50% of the women are getting it from in-state.
And how much...
Or 46%, my bad, sorry.
Okay, so just repeat that one more time just so we have it clearly.
About 46% of women get abortions in Allegheny County from Allegheny County.
So most of the women who are seeking treatment here are from outside of the area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How much more difficult is it for women, based on the research you did for this piece, Sabrina, how much more difficult is it for women seeking abortions to get them than it was, say, even 5 years ago?
Well, with more restrictions being placed on the state, women are being sort of, women have to look into different ways to get to clinics and sort of work around the restrictions, like the 24-hour waiting period. Women have to sort of go in for counseling and go in for their initial counseling. And then they have to go into the procedure. So it's really difficult for women to go out of their way more than once to receive a simple procedure.
Let's go quickly to a call from Margo in Highland Park. Margo, we've got about 20 seconds here, so you'll have to be swift, if you would. Thank you. Welcome. Margo? Margo from Highland Park.
Hi. I'm wondering about changing the discourse because it doesn't seem like anybody else has to go through these kinds of things for health issues. Since things are not equal, women are not equal biologically to the men, does it come down to women like myself who had abortions, great decision for me, to just start talking more about it? We have to raise our voices, not unlike the gay community.
All right, Margo, let's let Laura respond to that.
Yes, absolutely. It's time for us to own our right to abortion without shame, without stigma, and without embarrassment. It's part of women's health care, part of women's lives, and we have every right to speak about it and make that decision for ourselves.
I wish we had more time for this discussion, but we are out of time. I want to thank Laura Horowitz, who has been a volunteer clinic escort for women seeking abortion in Pittsburgh. Also, Sabrina Bowden, who wrote the story, Volunteers at the Apex of the Abortion Debate. We'll have a link to that story from our content partner, Public Source. Sabrina Bowden and Laura Horowitz, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.